The Florida Jazz Blues Festival comes up September 23rd through the 25th. Scotty Barnhart, celebrated jazz trumpeter, will be with us. And I've got a young app developer, business owner. If you ever wondered how apps are made, well, Jide Opiola is going to talk about that. Miriam Dady's got another guest for us in the business spotlight, so stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widden Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax. And it's done.
I take care of the whole person, interweaved throughout our office visits. Yeah. If we're talking about a general medical office visit,
right.
I'm counseling patients on how to structure their life.
Dr. Mignon talking about helping you maintain your health.
If you're overdoing things and patients walk in and say, oh my gosh, I feel so stressed out, or even young people, a 16-year-old could feel stressed out. And what does that really mean? I mean, people throw that term around, but I'm feeling overwhelmed. I don't have any time for myself. I'm not sleeping well. I'm exhausted when I wake up in the morning. Well, what are we going to do? So to help people adjust their mind or their thinking or their perception and their plan to change that.
Your family, your health, your doctor. Dr. Mignon with Health and Wellness Centers of North Florida. Call or click 850-656-2006 or TallahasseeHealthandWellness.com.
Here we are again, my friend. Glad you've joined me. We have another opportunity given us by our Creator to establish even further the proposition that Tallahassee is emerging as a contributive, significant part of certainly the Southeast in its contributions economically and culturally. Think that could be argued. Some are simply saying it's the new Tallahassee. Revitalization abounds. Everything from changing a shopping mall into what is now the center of Tallahassee to Gain Street to Cascades Park, South Side, North Side, Midtown, Downtown, Market District. You see all of this happening. With some design in mind, in other words, a deliberate, concerted effort among various organizations and individuals. You probably know all those names, right? Because, my goodness, haven't we touted their virtues for you and brought many of them here for you to learn from directly over the years? It's been going on for years. Hadn't stopped, and it's evolving further. And here's what I find curious about that. When you are decided, when you are disciplined enough to lay out for others to view a plan, and you begin to execute that plan, you inspire other people to participate. And if not directly in what you're doing, they are inspired to do what they have decided they need to do. And that's kind of the story behind this thing that we're going to talk about today with none other than Scotty Barnhart. If he is new to you, my friend, well, strap in, because you're going to get a healthy dose of this worldwide celebrated, internationally celebrated, traveled performer, musician, educator, jazz artist, a tenured professor at Florida State University, heads up jazz studies over there, jazz trumpeter as well, or trumpeting, right? The guy is profound in his understanding, not only of music, but as it turns out, his involvement with, participation in, an organization of jazz and blues festivals. Aha! So here comes the Florida Jazz and Blues Festival, first ever in Tallahassee in September. Now, just about a month away. Yeah, the 23rd through the 25th of September. And where will this be held? Aha! I'm sorry. I'm in one of those kind of moods where I'm like doing my Eddie Murphy Jewish guy thing. Aha! Well, anyway, so he's here to talk about the Florida Jazz Blues Festival, and where? At Cascades Park. Right. Which didn't exist. Only but a few years ago, this became realized in the minds of people who had been planning for a long time, realizing that they needed to move this thing forward. It was slated for years down the road, and guys like Mike Pate and many other folks, people with KCCI and Blueprint, and they all began to realize they just didn't need to wait any longer. So they accelerated that plan. And in doing so, consider what has happened just in the last, two and a half years? Word of South, Shakespeare Festival, now the Florida Jazz Blues Festival, Jazz and Blues Festival. Uh-huh. You see, when you and I invest wisely in other people and in ideas that are inclusive and open the door for greater participation, good things happen. So it is with the Center of Tallahassee. And this is a guy who has laid out his own money to come in from Birmingham, an outsider who is revitalizing that, what was we knew was called the Tallahassee Mall, knew it for many years as the Tallahassee Mall. Here comes the Center of Tallahassee. Oh, my goodness. And what kinds of things? Alice Cooper performed the other night. Where? Center of Tallahassee, in the pavilion there, the amphitheater. Is that all worthwhile? Well, talk to my other guest, Jide Opiola, 28 years old. Developer, electrical engineer, who decides, I think I can make a business out of building mobile apps. You know, those little pieces of software that you download to your phone that will fry your bacon for you or whatever. Open your car door, I guess, your garage door. You can even tune your TV, change channels right from your cell phone. Yeah, there you go. Well, Jide, Nigerian born, by the way. Yes, an immigrant whose father is a technician, technical kind of person. We'll talk about that. Is inspired to move forward in this business, 28 years old, and decides to keep residence here in Tallahassee. So, okay, we're going to find out what got him here to begin with. We're also going to find out why he's chosen to stay and to build a business here. And a technology business at that. You see what I'm talking about. This is the kind of synergy, we'll call it, that's happening. And it makes it better for all because we then all benefit from the interaction of, the intersection of all of these different activities. And it's not a growth that's random. It's not a growth that is counterproductive, right? So as we encourage and witness more and more collaborative effort, well, then, in fact, more and more people get to participate in the process. I've got a number of announcements for you today about all kinds of activities that are examples of that. The Tallahassee Science Festival, fabulous example of that. And God bless Bill Grace for his work in that effort. We're going to bring you up to date on what they're doing. Meanwhile, we're back to school, are we not? Have you noticed? Yes. And the folks over there at the city are offering a free Star Metro bus fare. That's cool. For K through 12 students. It started back here on the 15th of August, just a week ago. So they offer a new transportation option for students in Leon County. Leon County students in kindergarten through 12th grade can ride free for 7 days a week. Pretty cool. Folks, we got some cool stuff happening. You stay with me. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Changing the face of talk radio in Tallahassee. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Time now for this week's Business Spotlight with Miriam Dady, brought to you by pushtheenvelope.biz.
I'm Miriam Dady, and this is Tallahassee Business Spotlight. Kim Kelling and I have just been getting acquainted, and I'm so excited to introduce her to you. Kim, thank you for being here.
Well, Miriam, thank you so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here and learn what you all are doing.
Well, we just dovetail, so I think we're going to be friends far into the future, and everybody out there is going to hear a lot more about you. Kim is with WFSU. She is the Director of Content and Community Engagement for WFSU Programming. I am excited. Look, I've got bumps on my arm right now because Kim is telling me about a local program that is launching again in October. Tell me what that is, Kim.
So season two of Local Roots, that's R-U-T-E-S, not R-O-O-T-S, Local Roots is launching this fall in October. It will be our second season. We created this program. This is a television program, and we created it with the idea of finding ways to share with our audiences what makes living in this area so unique, whether it's the history, the food, the culture, the environment. Those are the stories that we want to tell. So we had a great first season. We ran from October to May. Lots of new content. It also lives online, so if people want to see it online, they can see it there. But we really are looking for community input. What are those places that you like to go with your family? Or what's that restaurant you love to go to? Or is there a bike path that you always go on that you think makes living here so great? What is it that you love about this area?
That is crazy good. Now, of course, I have my secret list that I don't want anybody else to
find out. We all have those because we don't want to, you know, give up the special place.
I mean, I love Yankees and all, but hey, you know, no, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But no, the idea of featuring local roots or routes.
Exactly. One of our first episodes, we went around and asked people, how do they pronounce that word? And it was great because we got every answer.
Oh, I love that. The whole idea of that is such a dovetail for what we do here with Tallahassee Talks and Tallahassee Business Spotlight. The idea of the personality that we represent is what you're bringing out. I want to know a little bit about some of the features you did in season one.
Well, the first episode we featured was on boiled peanuts.
Perfect.
Because what is more southern than boiled peanuts? So we went around and talked to different boiled peanut makers.
Yes.
They would not disclose their recipes because everyone, these side of the road gentlemen, are very, you know, protective of their secret recipe.
You're not going to find out which hot sauce they put in there.
You betcha. And then there's a whole debate on whether you go Cajun or do you stay pure. So that gives you a little bit of a taste. So we had a story on that. We also, one of our videographers, producers, does a very beautiful photography around our local ecology. So
nice.
It may be out. One of his stories that was really popular was kayaking with your child.
Oh,
and
great.
You know, getting your kids out in nature, and what does it take, and what are some strategies to help your child love nature.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be showing a segment in our new season about how caterpillars transform to butterflies.
Neat.
Through the eyes of his son. So that's a segment that will be coming up.
The butterfly migration would be a great one to cover.
We have covered some of that as well.
Neat.
We
Good.
Do. So the program always features a little bit of something about nature,
mm-hmm.
usually some cultural thing, whether it's boiled peanuts or maybe an art show that's going on in our community. We also did a lot of featuring of local musicians. So we have had several different musicians come into the studio and we interview them. They play a song or two. That's become a very popular segment. In fact, that was so popular that we did a spinoff last year and did a whole concert series called Gradstock.
Nice.
And that went to support our work with at-risk youth. So
well,
it was a really great...
I can only imagine how many people are just bubbling inside listening to you, because everybody in Tallahassee has an idea of what needs to be featured.
Yes.
And they need to reach you. How are they going to do that?
They can reach me through the best place is go to our Facebook page, WFSU Facebook page. You can see lots of our content on that site. They can also go to our Local Roots website. So it's just wfsu.org/localroots, all one word. And they can see past episodes. There's a place where they can submit ideas. They can submit videos. We're hoping to encourage people to shoot their own video that we can then have a segment on the show that features what people are seeing and what they want to document. We wanted to make it interactive.
Just get ready, because you're going to receive some content, I guarantee you. And besides Local Roots, tell me some of the other programming things, the content that you're really proud of at WFSU.
Well, I'm passionate about WFSU. I'm passionate about public media. I really feel we have a responsibility to be reporting the news in a non-biased way, to give our audiences opportunities to be exposed to various ideas, whether it's the arts, culture, education, nature. And being at a station that's both radio and television, I just feel we have such a unique opportunity to bring wonderful programming to our area. Of course, it's right now election season, so that's mm-hmm. a big focus of our work. We just finished two nights of Bandwagon, which is a old-time politicking show. So it's just classic. We invite candidates from Leon, Wakulla, and Gadsden County into our studio. They get 2 minutes to make their case. If they don't finish in 2 minutes, the Capitol Cordsmen come on and sing. But we don't editorialize it. It's their straight talking 2 minutes.
Nice.
And then we feature that on our website so people can go on there and hear the candidates directly to make an informed decision on who they want to vote for. So
I
that's
like
a big responsibility we feel is providing that election coverage, giving people an opportunity to hear directly from the candidates. We also did that on radio through mm-hmm. Perspectives. We did all through the month of July. We invited every race on air to talk about the issues.
That's so important.
So, as you know, we have to help our community have the knowledge they need to have to make informed decisions.
Yes, yes. And I just am so excited to make your acquaintance. I know we're going to become friends. I know that everyone listening wants to be a part of what WFSU is doing because it's making all of Tallahassee better. So please get on Facebook, find WFSU, whether it's for local roots or for some other idea or a way that you want to plug in, you're going to want to be a part. Kim, thank you for being here with me.
Thank you for having me.
Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781. More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
If you have a mobile phone, and there's a good chance that you do, most of us do, there's also a very good likelihood that you have, at one time or another, used one of the many millions, I think, apps that are available to us. Everything from, you know, egg timers to star watching software, it's all available on the net, on the web, and available to us most often or many times for free. Wow. How does that happen? How is it that all of these tools became available to us right there in the palm of our hand? Well, you've asked that question like I have. I'm happy to say, my friend, that I've got someone here who can explain all of that to you. So this young man, for his part, has been in the business of creating such things, creating mobile applications. And in creating those applications, he's created for himself then a business that is spinning out into even other business opportunities. So let's welcome to our show, Jide Opiola. How are you, sir?
I am doing well. Good morning, Brian. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning to you.
Thank you for having me here.
It's a pleasure. On good recommendation from our friend Vincent Hunt, who, when he contacted us, said, ooh.
That's Vincent.
You got to talk to this guy. He's awesome. He's chopping it up. So Vincent, we don't ignore, because Vincent is, among other things, a great judge of talent. And he is a provocateur, I think. And he is someone who sees those abilities in others and helps to encourage their growth. And so I think you are one of those folks. Is that right?
Yes, right? Yes. Yeah. You know, the way me and Vincent connect, we're both creatives. Yeah. We have great conversations about user experience. Right. That is a topic that we both have opinions, are very opinionated on. Mm. And yeah, so
user experience
connect.
As in?
Everything.
Yeah.
But more particularly, in my lane, with apps, as far as how an app functions.
And so the business of creating an app isn't simply then, I'm taking this as your implication,
mm-hmm.
creating the thing. You have to create it in such a way that it best serves that end user. And I guess we've all been subject to that too, where you download an app,
mm-hmm.
then you open the thing up and you're like, huh?
Yes.
How does this thing work? And it's clunky or
yes.
awkward or doesn't kind of move the way you thought it would.
Yes.
And then you get rid of it.
Exactly.
So in this business of creating those applications, mobile apps that are more, we'll say, user-friendly and enhance the user experience, what are some of the key elements there? What do you make sure you're doing?
So the thing a lot of people get mixed up on is when they have a great app idea, they think about tech first. Mm. Let's think about everything tech. Well, that's cool, but the thing is when someone else downloads your app, they expect the tech to work. So therefore, if you're focusing all on tech, that's not going to wow the user because they expect it to work, right?
Sure.
So how do you wow the user? The way you wow the user is by great design. And when you dive in deeper into design, it splits into two categories. It's UI, user interface, and UX, user experience. So what is user interface? User interface is how something looks, right?
Okay.
So you have a pretty button. You have a pretty screen, right? How that screen looks. And the thing about a great UI, it gives off an emotion, and it's practical. Right?
Yeah.
And so user experience, the way that's different is it's where that button is, that pretty button, where it's placed.
I got you.
Now that's the user experience. Have you ever used a free app where they will have the advertisements and the banners?
Yeah.
Sometimes what they do is they will put a button, an action button for the app by that ad. So therefore, when you go to click the button, you go straight to whatever website the ad takes you. That's bad user experience.
Sure, because they're being kind of
exactly
duplicitous.
Exactly, they are misleading.
Yeah,
but the app might look great, right? So it has great UI, but the user experience isn't great because that button is next to the ad.
Right.
So that's the difference between the two.
If you come across someone who has put out good money for an app, but the end result does not provide good UI and UX.
Yes.
Anything you can do to help them, or you got to start over?
Oh, no, you don't have to start over, but you definitely would spend more money in the long run.
Yeah.
The difference between my company and the other app companies out there is we are design-driven development. That's what we do. So what exactly does that mean? So with any app company, you first start off with the idea, of course, and then you have a wireframe. A wireframe is just, you can even sketch a wireframe. It's just, okay, this is how we think the app is supposed to be laid out. Cool, right? So what any company do, as long as, with my company, we get the wireframe approved by the customer,
right?
And then once that is approved, we move to a prototyping phase. Same as the other companies. A prototyping phase is pretty much it's not the actual functional app, but what happens is we have the button placements, we have the screens all set up. Therefore, when you hit a button, it goes to the next screen.
Right.
It's not the actual functional app, it's just a prototype of it.
Okay.
So what this allows you to do is it allows you to gauge how well a user can interact with it, right? Does this button placement here make sense?
So what you're
telling us, does the screen make sense?
There is a methodology then, a protocol that you follow to determine UI and UX. It's not just you looking at it and going, yeah, that looks nice. You really follow this sort of... If you were doing anything else, I mean, I understand you have a background as an engineer, electrical engineer.
Yes.
Your father was involved in engineering technology.
Yes.
If you weren't doing this, what would you do?
Psychology.
Really?
Yeah. I'll be a psychologist. So how that happened was my freshman year, you know, you have your core classes. I went to Penn State, graduated from Penn State. Don't hold that against me, FSU.
Hey, we are very open-minded here.
Cool.
Love everybody, don't
cool.
we?
Yes, cool.
Of course we did.
I like that. So the way that started is freshman year, you have classes where, you know, they're towards your major, and then you have electives that you can take, you know, things that you are interested in. So one of the classes that I took was psychology, you know, because all the other ones didn't make sense to me. And I was so intrigued by that course. It was mind-blowing as far as, you know, learning about why people behave the way they do, right?
Does that curiosity and that interest then inform you, do you think? When you sit back and you say, how am I going to create this for that end user, does that...
Absolutely.
Help you?
Because the thing about great user experience is it has to be intuitive, right? Psychology helps you think about what makes something intuitive, right? What people usually do. For instance, I keep saying buttons, but they're a great example. Most people are right-handed, right?
Yep.
So therefore, when you have an app, when you make an app and you have, for instance, the action views where, you know, you either push yes or no, if it's something that that someone might mistakenly push a button for, you want to put that action on the opposite side.
I see.
You see what I'm saying?
Because I'm right-handed.
Because I'm right-handed, you're more likely to push the button on the right.
On the right.
So therefore, if you're asking someone to delete something, right, that okay action, you want to put it on the left.
Because you want to make sure
you want to make sure
force them to think through.
Exactly. Yeah. So you want to put the cancel button on the right.
I got you.
So it doesn't harm anything, but you want to put the strong action on the left.
I'm curious.
So that's intuitiveness.
His name is Jaid Opiola. He is the founder and owner of Bevy Mobile and our guest this morning. We are pleased to have him because he's an example of what we love to refer to as the creative class in Tallahassee, and it certainly has been the effort of many folks to attract and retain people like this young man. Stay with me, folks. We've got more coming up. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Because the truth is, the best medicine is a good, healthy life. It's challenging to do, but there are small changes that we can make.
Dr. Mignon talking about helping you maintain your health.
People know what to do, but they don't know how to get it done. And even when we know what to do, it's difficult to make it happen. I just know how important it is because I see, as a physician, I know the bad things. And I know it's a heck of a lot better if we can just prevent that. But we gotta, you know, start small and they evolve into bigger changes. If that's exercise, so we offer exercise services or nutritional counseling and modifying our diet. You know, it's not just about medicine and your cholesterol, but it's about what you do, what you eat, and helping people to see that connection and really make that change.
Dr. Mignon with Health and Wellness Centers of North Florida, welcoming Blue Cross Blue Shield patients, 850-656-2006 or TallahasseeHealthandWellness.com.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're back talking with Jaid Opiola. He is a mobile app developer. He's the owner of Bevy Mobile. He is a native of Nigeria who arrived in America as a young child. He and his sister and his mother and father. And I guess for you then, someone who is an immigrant to this country, made your way to Florida State.
Yes.
I think because you had some particular young lady here who was already in Tallahassee.
Yes.
See, that was our intention. We use that to try to attract.
to lure people here.
Exactly right. We have some of the most beautiful college co-eds in the world right here at Florida State University. Thank you very much. But in that case, you had options. You could have gone elsewhere. And so, of course, all the people over there at Chamber of Commerce have just picked up, you know, they're listening very carefully. What kept you in Tallahassee, or what has kept you thus far?
So, for one, my girlfriend, she has kept me in here. She works for
Department of Blind Services. Maybe we should be asking her this question. Why are you still here?
But another reason was I joined this incubator called Domi Station over there on Railroad Avenue.
Right.
And Domi Station, it is a place for creatives. They have a co-working space, and they also have an incubation program. From there, I met some of the most interesting people.
Michael Wyden. Vincent Hunt.
Exactly, Michael Wyden. He's the CEO over there, right. And that's where I met Vincent Hunt. And I tell people about Vincent. He's my mentor, but he doesn't know it yet.
Yeah. That would be my statement as well. He's mine as well.
Exactly. So, yeah. Exactly. But he doesn't know it yet. I just met some of the most interesting people, and that has kept me. And being that I just started my company, and Tallahassee is also trying to grow their tech community, so therefore our visions align. I'm trying to grow my company. Tallahassee's trying to grow.
How are you doing that? How is it that your company is growing, and what are you doing to get it there?
So when you first start a company, you wear a lot of hats. You know, for me, I'm the developer, so I'm developing marketing, trying to do my due diligence as far as, you know, getting the word out there of Bevy Mobile. So therefore, finding contracts both in Tallahassee locally and also outside of Tallahassee, the neighboring cities, I guess kind of neighboring, like Atlanta, Jacksonville, kind of more so the big name cities, and social media. So you have to, if you're an app development company in this day and age, you have to use social media and to kind of draw people to your website.
And when you say that, are you talking LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, all of it?
Yeah. So Twitter, I'm not that well versed at Twitter, so I didn't even go to that avenue. Yeah. But Instagram, Facebook, you know, doing Facebook ads. I'm going to start doing Instagram ads here shortly. And what I'm just trying to do is draw people to my website, www.bevymobile.com. So once people get to my website, they would see the quality and the due diligence that we put into our user experience and the design.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Now, we have in front of us this morning a lot of people, many of them in business, many of them with business ideas.
Okay.
And at least one or two of them, and I would think many more, have thought, gosh, I would like to have an app for my thing, whatever that thing is, right?
Yes.
Where's a good place for them to start? I mean, obviously they're going to go to you first, bevymobile.com. We got that. When you sit down with that individual, how does that go?
So there's two parts I'm going to answer that. The first part is we are starting a course underneath Bevy Mobile. It's going to be called Bevy Labs. And with that course, it's going to walk individuals through the mobile app development process and what they need to be prepared for. Mm-hmm. We're going to help them with marketing strategies. We're going to help them with development strategies. Mm-hmm. And most importantly, create a list of requirements. Mm-hmm. A lot of people come to me, you know, saying I have a great app idea, but they don't have a list of requirements. They almost want you to plug a USB in their head and download it to their computer. It doesn't work like that. So you need to have something written down. So what this course, Bevy Labs, is going to do is get you prepared for, you know, the app development world. And sometimes, actually, within the course, if you're taking it, you might realize that, okay, maybe this idea is not as great as I thought it is, because we'll help you with the whole thinking process, right? So therefore, we haven't decided on a price for the Bevy Labs yet, but you're going to spend, you know, fractions of the price just to take that course.
Sure.
You might find out the idea is not as good, so you only spent a fraction of the money rather than going through the whole process, spending thousands of dollars on the app and realize that you don't have anything. So that's one.
Bevy
Labs.
And that's up and coming. When will that happen?
We are trying to roll out our first class before the end of the year. Mm-hmm. So around December, we haven't selected a date yet, and we're still trying to come up with the lesson plans. So we're going to have it here in Tallahassee. It's going to be at Domey Station.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you said there's another part to this.
So there's another part to it. So if someone came to Bevy Mobile and said, hey, I have this great app idea. You know, I have a list of requirements. I'm ready to go. What we first do is sit down, grab coffee with them, right? Mm. We learn about their problems and what they need solved, right? That's the first step that we take. The second step is we actually learn their industry, because you can't create a great user experience without learning someone's industry. Yeah. Right. You have to learn, you know, if it's a restaurant business wanting an app based on their restaurant, I'll be a waiter there for a day or two. Kind of learn what everything is going. Learning. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So therefore, when you start creating the app, you will start thinking about some of these things that you wouldn't know otherwise without being a part and experiencing their environment.
Yeah. You've mentioned some of the contracts that you've already completed.
Yes.
Give us an example of an app that you're especially proud of.
Sure. Yeah. So one of the apps that we rolled out recently is called BookU, and I did it for some guys that rolled it out here at FSU. Uh-huh. So the premise of the app is for college students to rent and buy books from each other. So an example is if I took a math class last year and I still have the book, I paid $200 for it. Chances are if I try to sell it back to the bookstore, they'll only give me $20 for it, or they might not even take it back.
Yeah.
So what this app allows you to do is post a book on the app, and someone that wants it can either rent it for a few days, right?
Yeah.
However long they want it,
yeah.
Or that they can actually purchase the book for
very
you.
Very cool.
And we do the money transactions and all that within the app, so
I
it's
still
very
have
seamless.
All of my books from graduate school.
Put them on the app.
I
book
might
you.
Do that.
Put them on the app. Someone might want them.
Oh man, folks, this is what we love. We have discovered this wonderful individual, whose Nigerian name would be pronounced Jide.
Yes.
But the Americanization then has, as it happens, this is inevitable. Our good friend Jide Opiola, who is our guest this morning. Thank you, young man, for being a part of this. This is a good experience for us. We're learning a lot here.
No problem.
We'll
I'm
keep
happy,
in touch
I'm happy
with
to be
you.
Here.
Yeah, keep
Absolutely.
Us posted too as you make progress, folks. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny here coming up to the top of the hour. We'll be back with more. Stay with me.
I take care of the whole person interweaved throughout our office visits.
Yeah.
If we're talking about a general medical office visit,
right.
I'm counseling patients on how to structure their life.
Dr. Mignon talking about helping you maintain your health.
If you're overdoing things and patients walk in and say, oh my gosh, I feel so stressed out, or even young people, a 16-year-old could feel stressed out. And what does that really mean? I mean, people throw that term around, but I'm feeling overwhelmed. I don't have any time for myself. I'm not sleeping well. I'm exhausted when I wake up in the morning. Well, what are we going to do? So to help people adjust their mind or their thinking or their perception and their plan to change that.
Dr. Mignon with Health and Wellness Centers of North Florida, welcoming Blue Cross Blue Shield patients. Call or click 850-656-2006 or TallahasseeHealthAndWellness.com.
The most talked about topics in town, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back, my friend. I'm glad you're here because I've got more good stuff for you. Scotty Barnhart, long time, celebrated, jazz trumpeter. He is the principal for the Count Basie Orchestra. In fact, you're going to find out from listening to him talk about his illustrious career, Grammy winner, tenured professor at Florida State. He's been all over the world with his music and has participated in so many festivals. So he gets a call from his friend, now friend, John Brown, because they didn't know each other. But John had this vision for the Florida Jazz and Blues Festival. Now, why would he have that idea? Well, we've already talked to John once about that. And it goes in line with this conversation I've had with you folks going on for some time now. When you and I create something remarkable, it encourages other people to do the same, I think. And I think we're seeing that happen. And it's happening beyond those things that are, let's say, being organized by government or larger organizations, Florida State University or FAMU or TCC. It's happening within the private sector, which is really what you want, because in any case, for our community especially, if we do not see that kind of, we'll call it percolation, right? If it's not bubbling up from the ground among us, then it remains a kind of top-down thing, and it's, in my opinion, furthering this plantation way of thinking, you know, that the people who own the land and own the big house, they make all the decisions, and the rest of us just work the fields. See, when the workers turn around and say, well, we have a better way of doing that, or we have some other things we want to do with our time, and our energies. Now you see innovation begin to come about. And man, when you open the door to innovation, like we heard from Jide Opiola, yeah, in our first hour, Opiola's talking about his work over there at Domi Station, this incubator. Well, my hope, personally, is that we see 100 incubators around Tallahassee, that we see multiple settings where original thought, creative enterprise, experiment, exploration is happening in all kinds of ways, whether or not it is, we'll call it arts and entertainment, technology, science, education, even social activities, religion, all of it. Think of all of the different ways in which we are connected with one another. And so here comes this neat little thing, another neat little thing, called the Tallahassee Science Festival. Right. What's that all about? Well, so I happen to have in my little hands, well, not little, but in my hand, I have a listing of the participating organizations, and it goes on and on and on. I mean, Challenger Learning Center, okay, City of Tallahassee, right, FAMU, right, Florida Department of Environmental Protection. These are organizations that are presenting and participating in this science festival. FSU, Department of Civil and Environmental Engineering, Department of Geography, Department of Mathematics. It goes on. TCC is there. The National High Magnetic Field Laboratory, affectionately known as the Mag Lab. New Leaf Market, let's see here, Pilot Club of Tallahassee. This is remarkable. All kinds of media folks are going to be there. Radio, television, Leon County Libraries involved. It just brings tears to my eyes when I think about how, in fact, a guy like Bill Grace, who is the director, takes it upon himself to organize around this idea that this Tallahassee Science Festival, this is, by the way, their fifth year. It's annual, coming up in September. It's on the 10th, which is a Saturday from 10 to 2. It's at Lake Ella. The Lake Ella Cottage is there. You can go to their website, TallahasseeScienceFestival.com, right? That's a good thing. And you've got contact information there. It says here, the Science Festival is free and it's open to the public with a heavy focus on STEM. For those of you who may not know, science, technology, engineering, and math. Booths will feature activities and exhibits driven by problem-solving and creative thinking. Tallahassee Science Festival promises to be a fun and dynamic learning experience for the entire community. It's hands-on, and it's for kids of all ages, that includes you and me, with over 100 exhibits. Last year, they had 4,000 kids that showed up. Wow. You see? This is what I'm talking about. How about this? Here's the Sacred Soil Project. This is a benefit for wounded veterans, particularly, and homeless veterans, those at risk for suicide. It's a concert that's going to be at the Jam Junction at Monroe. That's Russ Pengratz and his beautiful wife, and they're down there. They're slugging it out. Josie and Russ putting it on the line, putting their own blood, sweat, and tears into this thing. The Jam, great little theater, great venue for music, favoring local artists. And here's this fundraiser, the 28th. So that's coming up here in another week. It's from 3 to 9 p.m., 3 in the afternoon to 9 p.m., $15. Suggest a donation. They'll have food trucks and beverages and great music. Mae West, Samarium, Deep Pockets, Suéjà Vu, Corey Crumpacker, and Backlash, all performing and all to help veterans who are at risk for suicide, for homelessness, whatever they're going to do to help these people. Well, there you go. You got music being performed just to remind us we have an opportunity. We can help out. And I should bring to your attention as well something else that's helping all of us very clearly get in touch with more and more of the real story, the real Tallahassee. And this is a magazine that has been out now for about a year and a half, almost 2 years. Tallahassee Family Magazine. They are sponsors of this portion of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Happy to have them involved with us. I encourage you to get a hold of the latest copy. It is out there now. You'll find it at all the news racks and all the public stores around and various other news outlets, bookstores and such, professional offices, all kinds of places. You can go online, TallahasseeFamilyMagazine.com, and there is a full-blown online version of the magazine as well. The cover story has to do with this neat little restaurant, Miccosukee Root Cellar. Wow, what a great idea that is. Folks, it's the kinds of things that we like to celebrate, which is all about why you and I are here today. Thank you for tuning in. Stay with me. I've got more Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
Scotty Barnhart is now in the 22nd year with the legendary Count Basie Orchestra, which he joined as a featured trumpet soloist in 1993 and then was appointed as director in 2013. In addition to winning two Grammy Awards with the Basie Orchestra, he has three critically acclaimed recordings by pianist Marcus Roberts and over 10 recordings with the likes of Tony Bennett, Diana Krall, Ray Charles, Tito Puente, just a few. Barnhart released his debut solo CD, Say It Plain, on the Unity Music label. He is a tenured professor of jazz trumpet and jazz studies at Florida State University now in his 14th year of service to that community and to our community. Let's welcome Scotty Barnhart. How are you, sir?
Fine. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
I've tried to pronounce all of those names. Did I miss on any of those?
No, you got them perfectly.
Did I?
Man. Perfectly.
Carl, I think that's a new Olympic record for me, because I normally will just obliterate pronunciations
all
around
perfect.
Here. It's a weakness. What a pleasure to have you here with us.
Thank you, Brian.
We're going to have this man with us for the rest of the show. Mm-hmm. Because we've threatened him. If he tries to leave, we're not going to let him. But he's also going to share with us some of the music that has made him so famous and so beloved. And we're going to talk a lot about his career as a musician, as an educator. And then this little thing that, I don't know, he and John Brown came up with. We don't know exactly where this came from. We're going to find out.
All right.
The Florida Jazz and Blues Festival,
yes.
And that's coming up here next month.
That's right.
What are the dates?
September 23, 24, and 25, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at Cascades Park
that's
in
right.
Tallahassee,
mm-hmm.
The very first ever Florida mm-hmm. Jazz Blues Festival in Tallahassee. Now, there are other jazz blues festivals in various communities around Florida and around the Southeast, probably around the country, right, John? But this is our very first. And Scotty Barnhart, you are the man that is making this come together.
Along with John Brown.
Well, I know that you have to say that because John gets his feelings hurt, you know, very easy. He's a very sensitive man. And so we make allowances for John because if you don't include him in the conversation, he's like me that way. I'm not afraid to die. I'm just afraid the next 5 minutes won't be about me. I get that. However, no, I happen to know that Mr. Brown is feverishly working with not a whole lot of time to spare here, folks. And you got to tell me, where did this whole thing spring from? Where did this start with
Well,
you?
It was John's idea. I got a call from John, and he said he wanted to try to put together a jazz festival, you know, for Tallahassee.
When did he do this?
This is... It was this year, so and early this year, late winter, early spring, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
So it wasn't just last month.
No.
Because see, that would be me. That's how I roll. It's like, hey, let's have a show. Yeah.
And it could have been last year. Was it last year? Or was it this year? Yeah, but it was late last year.
So let's just be honest.
Yeah, and so first thing I told him was that I had been approached before by people from the city and about having a jazz festival, and I'd had meetings at City Hall, but nothing ever came of it. And so this is the last 6-7 years ago, something like that. So I hadn't thought too much about it until I talked to John, and I said, sure, I'll be glad to help, but I thought that what we really should do, being that Tallahassee is a heavy blues area as well, we should combine the two and make it a jazz and a blues festival. That way, I think it would be a whole lot more attractive to the blues side as well as the jazz, you know, the jazz and blues people that love both. And so that's what we've done. And basically, my job has been as artistic director to identify and secure the talent. And that's what I did personally. I got on the phone. But what I had to do also, I had to get in touch with Gary Anton of the Bradfordville Blues Club here in town to have him be my blues consultant because he's the blues expert on the artist.
He knows that stuff.
Who's the top, who's the best, who we should try to get, who we should not try to get, things like that. So with his help on the blues side, and what I know on the jazz side, I was able to make a list, a four-tiered list, really. Internationally known artist, nationally known artist, regionally known, and locally known. And then you just simply plug those in, you know, and you divide it up, female vocalist, male vocalist. You have got to have a big band, like Hugh Hefner figured out years ago for the Playboy Jazz Festival in Hollywood, California, which is why it's still so successful. He made sure that he covered the entire spectrum of jazz, not just the modern, cerebral, electronic stuff. He made sure that there was always a big band at his, you know, Playboy Jazz Festival. And so that's what I knew how to do. I played so many of these festivals around the world that I knew what would really, really attract the people to them. And more importantly than that, what would attract the artists who want to play them more than once. So long story short, over a period of a month or so, I got on the phone and I got in touch with everybody and made my list of people who we wanted to have, and everybody said yes. And so here we are, ready to go, you know.
And were you excited about it as soon as John contacted you?
Of course.
Of course, man,
because I'm a musician.
Sell you on
no,
this idea.
You have to sell me off because, again, I've played the Nice Jazz Festival in East France. I played the Ferrano Jazz Festival in Japan. I played the Playboy Jazz Festival in Hollywood more than once. I played these festivals all over the place, all over the world, literally all over Hawaii, you name it, South Africa. So I know what makes these festivals work, and I know what makes them fail. And the main thing that makes them work is the level of talent, because that attracts people from all over the world.
Right.
I mean, I have friends of mine that literally fly to wherever we play, the Count Basie Orchestra. They fly to New York, they fly to London, and simply because they know the level of what
the
we're presenting to them.
Of the music,
so
yeah.
if you bring that level of musicianship or level of talent to Tallahassee in the jazz side and the blues side, that's a win-win. That's a win-win. Now you just have to have the infrastructure to make it work and the support of the local community, people that can really make it happen and get the word out like yourself. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much again. and that way you'll attract not just local people from Tallahassee, but people from the West Coast, the East Coast, you know, the Texas area, as well as Canada. I have a friend of mine that lives in Toronto that wants to fly down here. I have a friend that lives in Portland, Oregon that wants to fly here for this festival. So when you have level the musicianship that we have for this thing, man, to me, it'll eventually turn into an international jazz festival. Festival,
right,
which is what happened in Nice, France. Yeah. And that festival that started in Nice in 1948 was originally meant for the people in the south of France.
Uh-huh.
That wasn't meant for the whole world.
Uh-huh.
And now that's what it is.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Louis Armstrong was on that first one. And you have Louis Armstrong on a festival. The other musicians saw that. Man, let's play this festival that he did.
Uh-huh.
And now this is 2016 and it's still going on. Why not do something like that for this community here?
Might as well get started now.
Might as well get started, yeah.
It's called the Florida Jazz Blues Festival.
It's coming up
September 23rd, 4th, mm-hmm. and 5th. Mm-hmm. It's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Mm-hmm. We are going to learn all about it and learn more from this fine man, Scotty mm-hmm. Barnhart, our mm-hmm. guest. You are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Stay with me.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with Scotty Barnhart, a celebrated jazz artist, a professor at Florida State University in jazz studies. He's a jazz professor of jazz trumpet and jazz studies. 14 years you've been doing that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What do you find most rewarding, I suppose? Easy question here, but when you think about your educational experiences as an instructor, as a professor...
Well, what's most rewarding for me really is simple. I've been fortunate to have great teachers and mentors, and you know, people like Clark Terry, Freddie Hubbard, Wynton Marsalis, Nat Adderley, the musicians that played with Count Basie, and you know, people like Dizzy Gillespie. All of the information that I've gotten directly from them, I give it directly to my students. Mm. That's to me.
So you're carrying that water.
Absolutely.
It's the business of paying forward.
That's what it is, man. Everything that they told me and showed me or advised me on, I give it directly to my students. So there's no confusion as to what you need to do in order to become a jazz musician, which you have to do not only from a musical standpoint, from just how you carry yourself professionally, how you interact with other people as you travel around the world, and how you just live your life, you know. Right. So I'm able to give that directly to my students.
Right. Had a conversation recently with the folks that own B Sharps here in Tallahassee.
Yeah, Clarence and Jerry,
And was over there one evening and recorded some of the music that was going on. It was a young man who was doing his recital, his final performance.
Yeah.
As a student, trombonist. Forgive me for not remembering his
Tyler
name.
Tyler Ortman?
Probably. Yes, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
Yes, thank
mm-hmm.
you. See, you would know that.
Yeah, he's one of my students.
But you know, the fact that in that room that evening, there were people who were saturated in that experience. Mm-hmm. They didn't need to have anybody explain it to them, right? You find that in North Florida, there is a similar sort of level of interest. Do you think that jazz and blues has that kind of
absolutely
traction?
Tallahassee, believe it or not, thanks to Cannonball and Nat Adderley, beginning in the 50s and 60s, really, Tallahassee
right in French Town there.
Tallahassee is a serious jazz town. A lot of people really don't know that sometimes until they come out to a B Sharps. Or until they go to, you know, whether it's Black Dog Cafe or whatever it is, wherever they hear local jazz, I mean, hear musicians playing jazz in Tallahassee, once they get to know the musicians, they'll find it could be a Marcus Roberts sitting right there in front of you, playing in front of you, somebody, you know, who's also won Grammys, who was in Wynton Marsalis' band for all those years. And when Wynton comes to town, he gets in my car and I take him to B Sharps. I did that to him for him twice. Or I'll take him to wherever he wants to go hear whoever's playing.
Are we in need of more venues and bigger venues?
Yeah, well, I think this jazz festival is perfect. Sometimes in a particular city, you don't want to have too big of a venue. You want to have it a good enough size to where you could pack it.
Yeah.
That's really what I found. It really works well because then the audiences are really, really, really close together and they're close to the musicians, you know.
And what I liked about what Clarence has done over there, they hold themselves out as a jazz listening room.
Yeah, yeah, right? To listen, yeah.
Which
listen
means, floor, yeah. You know what? You're here to listen to
you're
the
to
music,
listen,
brother.
Exactly right. Yeah.
This is not where you hang out with your bros and have a conversation.
Exactly. Not while the music is happening, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And, I mean, there's plenty of time to do that. When the music is open, you can talk in between songs or whatever. But when you're really sitting there listening, it takes you to a whole different level, yeah. And you really get to understand about art and about... Or just about, you know, life. Music teaches about life.
Curiously enough, did you and John have a relationship before he made that phone call? Did you know each other?
No? I don't think so.
So he reached out to you, and you had to get to know him a little bit and kind of where he's going with this deal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it all sprung from there.
Absolutely.
And that was now just about a year ago, we'll say.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. John is a very, very hardworking man who has his ear.
He's a visionary.
He has his ear to the pulse of what's happening in this city.
I think we're fortunate in these days when you see more and more of that kind of visionary thinking.
Mm-hmm.
We are less likely to wait for a larger organization or institution to do that for us. Florida State University is a fantastic contribution to this community. It is. In many ways, at the hub, or near the center of what we are, state capital,
That's right.
Florida State University. I mean, it's hard to imagine the community without those.
Exactly.
But it is also a sort of easy out for a lot of folks to say, you know, I don't really need to do that because we've got, you know, opening nights, or we've got, you know, the artist series.
I mean,
why do we need to go and work that much harder? See, and yet you folks decide to come together and say, yeah, that's cool, but we want to do something more.
Exactly right.
We want to go a little further with this idea in and of itself.
But what we're doing, I guess the best compliment I've gotten so far about this festival is from a friend of mine on Facebook. And her father, I won't give her name, but her father was a famous jazz trumpeter by the name of Kenny Dorham. Mm. Played with Charlie Parker, everybody, you know, one of the pillars of jazz trumpet. And her simple comment to me was this: finally, a jazz festival that has real jazz and a festival that has real blues on it. Mm. One of the things that's happened over the last 20 or 30 years, well, 20 years I know in particular, at most of these jazz festivals around the world, not only in America here, is that they've gone from being originally a jazz festival to being a pop festival. They've gone from being a blues festival to being a folk festival or another pop R&B and soul festival. I mean, there's nothing wrong with those artists, but you just do not need a pop artist on a jazz festival because then you are confusing the public.
Mm-hmm.
And what I wanted to make sure that we did is that when you have the word jazz, that means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. But to the jazz musician, it means something very specific. Mm-hmm. To me, that means Louis Armstrong, that means Dizzy Gillespie, that means Wynton Marsalis, that means Miles Davis, that means John Coltrane, that means Ella Fitzgerald, that means Sarah Vaughan, that means Charlie Parker, that means Cannonball and Natalie. Mm-hmm. So if we know that's what they are doing, if that's what those are jazz musicians are, then when you have these other people, you have to explain what are they doing. So for me, that's why I had to consult Gary Anton, because I wanted to make sure when I got a blues person on this festival, it was indeed a blues person.
Yep.
Somebody that plays the blues.
Right.
Not somebody that plays rock and roll music and masquerades as the blues. Yeah. That's not what this music is. So not to try to be a complete purist, but on the other hand, hey, you know, if you want to go to Carrabba's and have an Italian dinner, you know,
you're not looking for fish and chips, brother.
Exactly. And if you walk in there and they don't have tomato sauce on anything, then we got a problem. That's not what, you know, so
that's
I just
what I'm
to,
saying.
So that's
I'm finally
what,
happy that we've moved on to talk about food, because this is really what I wanted to talk about with you. Because I'm saying there's got to be some very, very good barbecue somewhere,
you know,
in your
life. Somewhere, yeah. Okay. But no, but that's why. I mean, so that's why this festival is different. That's why it's needed.
Yeah.
Because we need to remind people of what the heritage of jazz and blues really is.
And let me ask you this. If I come to you from another planet,
mm-hmm.
and I say, I hear all of these different things, and all of these artists, they're all saying that they're playing jazz, but I'm hearing different.
Yeah.
What do you tell me in a sentence or two is jazz?
Jazz is improvisation based on the blues. That's what Louis Armstrong was doing. That's what Count Basie was doing. That's what Duke Ellington was doing. It's improvisation based on the basic blues format. And what happened as around the turn of the 20th century, the 1900s, early 1900s, the music began to get more and more, they began to explore it more.
Experiment.
And so they would go from the blues format to include popular American songs, from Gershwin, from Cole Porter, people like that. And then the musicians themselves began to write songs that were based on a combination of those types of things. So you take a song like Duke Ellington's Satin Doll or Mood Indigo or Take the A-Train or many things that he wrote, it would be based with the blues feeling, but it would incorporate the form of the popular American song, which is based on European harmonies.
Wow.
So that's kind of in a nutshell what it is. And then as the times move along, rock and roll came out of the blues and jazz. Miles Davis started experimenting with things around 1968, 69 to get what we to eventually develop what we now call fusion, which is, you know, spurring groups like Weather Report and things like that. Some of the things Herbie Hancock was doing in his group called Headhunters. And but that's basically what jazz is. So jazz, you know, I wanted to make sure that we represented that well. So that's why we have the Rebirth Brass Band there. It goes back to 1900 and that kind of thing.
He is acknowledged as one of the authorities on the history of jazz trumpet. Barnhart intently researched and wrote the groundbreaking book, The World of Jazz Trumpet, a comprehensive history and practical philosophy, published by Hal Leonard. He is our guest this morning, our very good friend, Scotty Barnhart. You stay with me. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. I want to take just a minute and tell you about Chelsea Salon. They are the official hair care salon and spa for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. And yes, this is how I am able to bring to you my very best every week. Because though you can't see me, I know whether I'm at my best. And I need all the help that I can get. So when I go over to see Mary Fannin and her crew, they are proficient in everything they do. Wow. Well, I don't think there's anything that has to do with my personal look and feel that they don't do. Here's one review I read recently. This is a guy here in Tallahassee. He says, I am so happy I found this place, having just moved from Orlando, where I had a wonderful stylist for 15 years. Chelsea is the bomb. Well, there you go, guys. So it's not just for the ladies. Check it out this week. Chelsea Salon and Spa, the official hair care and salon stylists for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hello, brothers and sisters in Radio Land. This is blues guitarist Jerry Thigpen. Don't you move, because this is Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
time.
Listening to April in Paris, the Count Basie Orchestra under the leadership, the creative direction of the very famous two-time Grammy-winning Scotty Barnhart, who is our guest. How are you?
I'm good,
man.
Are
we getting through this all right? Are we doing okay?
Yes, I think so, yeah.
And now involved in this festival, pretty clear about your mission, aren't you? You don't get up in the morning and say, nah, I don't know, maybe that job at Sears is looking pretty good right now. When did you start playing?
I started playing trumpet when I was 9.
Yeah.
But my mom and my grandmother and my uncle, they're all musicians, so I guess I've been hearing music from the time I was in the womb, you know? Seriously, my mom sings every day, plays piano,
look at that.
All that, so I sort of kind of grew up right in the middle of that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you hail from? Are you
Atlanta? Born and raised in Atlanta, Georgia. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When you started your career professionally, how old were you?
Well, my first professional job, I would say, when I was 16.
Yeah.
And I understand that to mean that whenever you get paid for doing something, then that's when you're professional. So, I was 16 years old, and I ended up being the trumpet soloist for the Atlanta Falcon Band.
Wow.
The NFL, because my band director, my high school band director, was the bass player in the group, and he said, you know, they're looking for a trumpet player, and I told him you can do it. And I was like, what? The next thing I know, that was that. So I did that for
you. Remember
a year.
How much you got paid for that game?
Man, I think it was a weekly. Every game was about $50 or something like that, $60. I mean, you get to go to the game for free, you know, and play and get paid. So it was fun. Yeah,
right?
absolutely.
Yeah,
that was the first one.
That was the first time. Mm-hmm. Have you, when you've made Tallahassee your home for some time? Have you been
second home? Yes.
So. Mm-hmm. Florida State University, you've been there 14 years. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. When did that begin?
That started in 2003, and I was asked to be to come back and teach there part-time.
I see.
Because they didn't want me to leave the road, and I said, well, I can't leave the road. I said, well, we don't want you to do that anyway. So I'm part-time, which is basically half of every semester, eight out of 16 weeks, but usually I do 10 or 12 weeks, you know, and my basic schedule weaves in and out of that, and it works out very well for me, and but I'm based in Los Angeles, so Tallahassee is like my second home. I'm here, you know. This time I'm here for like 2 months straight before I have a break and that kind of thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do you like about LA?
Oh, I like. I was telling some friends of mine the other day the energy of it.
Yeah.
The energy of it is a real. You can just feel. At least for me, I can just feel the energy. And it's a very vibrant energy. I can drive. I'm 10 minutes from the ocean. I can go to the ocean or any particular night of the week. I can hear any kind of music I want, any kind of food I want. And it's just a nice place. I just like the energy there.
My oldest son, Morgan, is living there.
Oh, really?
He's a musician, composer.
Okay.
He lives in downtown Los Angeles, down in the industrial district.
Yeah,
one of those old warehouses that they converted.
Okay, cool, man.
And he talks about how in Los Angeles, they don't care who you are.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care if they know you or not.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They will show up just to see what you're
exactly
all about.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
They'll give you a try.
Exactly right. Yeah. It's a great place.
Whereas with us, Tallahassee, you know, you have to pass the scratch and sniff test before we show up.
That's right. Yeah.
And we tend to be, I think, a bit narrower in our appreciation.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that this festival will provide us some opening up some inroads into our intellectual expansion, right?
I think it will.
So we can start to do that. Folks, it's called the Florida Jazz and Blues Festival.
Mm-hmm.
The creative director is our guest this morning, the very famous Scotty Barnhart. I know. I get paid every time I say this.
All right.
See? John's over there counting these things, right? So two-time Grammy Award winning, celebrated jazz trumpet. I mean, it just goes on and on.
Right,
you're an author.
Yes.
Man, I'm just feeling so outclassed here. I have nothing to show. I have nothing.
I'm pleasure to be on your show, man.
Well, brother, listen.
Thank you.
Folks, I want to tell you now, if you haven't already got this squared away on your calendar, shame on you. The 23rd, the 24th, 25th of September. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Because John is such a nice man, This is free. This is all free. No, it's not. Well, some of it is free.
Some of it, yeah.
Okay, so you get your blanket and your picnic lunch, you know, and your quarter malt liquor or whatever. Do they let you drink in the park? I don't know if they do or not. Well, whatever. We'll figure that part out. Show up and enjoy some great, great jazz, some great blues.
Right.
There are some ticketed events for the festival. Mm-hmm. You can find that online, and that website is going to be
FL for Florida, Jazz, J-A-Z-Z, and A-N-D, Blues, BLUES.com. So FL, Jazz, and Blues.com.
Simple enough.
Yeah.
Folks, check it out. Do it right now. Mm-hmm. Get your tickets, because you know what's going to happen. Those tickets are going to go flying. Mm-hmm. And John will be like, man, I'm so sorry, but you know, we do have this part over here that's free. So you can do that too. Mm-hmm. But you don't want to miss a great opportunity with our good buddy, Scotty Barnhart. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
What a joy. Folks, that's what we've got for you today. It's all good because we are what Tallahassee is talking about this week. That's why we do what we do. We're the production of Alcom Marketing and Advertising. Our executive producer is Carl Cerny. We will be back again next Saturday morning. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.
Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.